Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, you know, at BBM Bumber Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Yeah, you are listening to First Nation Media, Too Deadly, and we're going to catch up a yarn there with First Nation Media CEO. We have Catherine Little on the line. A very good morning, my sister. How are you?
Good morning. I am well and happy to be talking to you, Mob.
Fantastic. Catherine, thank you very much for coming to the program. First of all, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Okay, so I am Mbundurinya. So Mbundurinya meaning Mbuntu or Alice Springs, Arinya belonging to. That's my grandfather's side. So, but on my grandmother's side, we're the people of the river. So it depends on which anthropologist is defining this particular language group, but it sort of crosses over the Pradama, Southern Arunta, Yankunagara and the Maangara.
Oh, Too Deadly, beautiful. And like I was saying off air there, we are the professors of our mob, you know, and we 60,000 years. And, yeah, let the so-called scientists and archaeologists discover who we are, but we know who we are, yes?
This is absolutely true, particularly when it comes to defining our nation groups. And, you know, my Nana, she, you know, like a lot of mob, I grew up in a household where English wasn't necessarily the first language.
Yes.
And to this day, we still don't know how many languages my Nana can talk because the definitions and understanding of what language are for someone like Nana who's in her 90s are very different from how you understand it today. And we grew up to Garma a couple of years ago, and, you know, she's Central Desert Rat, and she could understand the language up there.
Yeah. Too deadly. So she's been walk about many, many places.
Oh,
and make yarn.
This is a true story, right? This is a true story. When we were going up there, I was working with NITV and we were taking Awaken up to Garwin. That's the program that I used to work on with Stan.
Yes.
And they said to me, because I'm Gunamulu, so you might know what that word means, about flying. So I said, I'm driving all the way from Sydney to Garma. And then I've said, oh, well, who are you taking with you? And I said, my Nana. And everyone just goes quiet. You're taking your Nana. I said, yeah, I'm taking my Nana. I said, how old is she? I said, oh, she's about 93. And they go, that's your co-driver. And I said, yeah. And they said, you sure about that? And I said, yeah, because my Nana knows where every kangaroo is, where watering hole is. She knows how far away we are. But more importantly, for me, going up into other people's country, my Nana is senior law person and I need her to make sure I'm representing properly.
Beautiful, fantastic. And like I said, walk about many, many places and many grounds, but also travelling spiritually as well. And that's strong. I feel that right here now while we talk, my sister.
Good, good. Well, I do say my Nana's always behind me. And, you know, that's part of the reason I got back into this particular came back to Alice Springs and started looking for a different way to do work because this it's funny that we're talking about that, hey, the spirits must be telling us which direction to go in.
Exactly.
So that particular trip, we're cruising along.
Yep.
And my Nana, she'd start talking. And I'm looking at her and I said, hey, Nundu Kami, Nundu Karakuya, Wangani, Mundi Wangani. So I'm saying to her, who are you talking to, Nana? You must be going soft in the head.
Mm-hmm.
And she says to me, Nah, I'm talking to my mummels in the back there, and they started doing things. And she goes, I've been playing with us the whole time. So, like, for example, we pull up at this watering hole, and my key, I always leave them in the car. They disappeared. And, you know, in the middle of nowhere on that road to Mullumboy, we can't find the keys. And then all of a sudden they turn up inside Nana's handbag. How do you explain that one, right? Inside her handbag.
Exactly.
So this happens the whole way and the whole way back. And anyway, halfway back, she's sleeping and she woke up and she looked at me and she said, you know what, Kunga? These aren't my mummels. these are your muscles and they're chasing us because it's time for you to come home and it's time for you to do more ceremony.
Wow, I've got goosebumps here, sister.
Yeah, yeah, and powerful. Sorry, I go back to Sydney to close everything up and, you know, I'm talking to people and they'd be talking to me on Bluetooth, you know, those jobs, they're busy. Even in the car, you're talking to people and they'd be saying to me, Catherine, I thought you left your kids in Alice Springs while you closed up. And I'd say, no, I did. And they'd be saying, well, who's that talking in the background behind you? You know?
Yeah, shut you up. Yep, there it is. That's right. Calling you home, sister. Look, beautiful. And that's why you are where you are. So you're the First Nations Media CEO. So give us a bit of background, Catherine, your professional background in regard to what did you do before this beautiful space you're sitting in.
Yeah, yeah. So I tell everyone I'm a journalist. So I started back in 1997, which means I was about 10, and I was a cadet journalist. And that was a really awesome platform because, you know, I grew up here in Alice Springs and around that nation of this country. And, you know, we'd been sitting on the floor while massive events were taking place, like the handback of Uluru and my family on my nana's side, the Yangon and Dharamang and other side. We're TOs for that country. So this was a really big event for us. And you'd sit down in front of the TV to see the stories and maybe see your mob. And what you actually saw was people saying really terrible things about your people and what was happening. And for us, mob, this was heartbreaking. And you'd think, why do you mob hate us so much? You know, why is it okay to talk about us like this? That was about time Indigenous media was really starting to get momentum when people realised when people were out there fighting to understand that these conversations and the representation of our mob was never going to change until we had control of the narrative and until we could show our faces and our perspectives on all forms of media. So,
well, it shows you how important First Nation media is to our people and communication to the world.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So for me, being able to join an entity like Impaja was just incredible. And, you know, they didn't have any jobs when I started looking for that. And like a lot of mob, you know, I'd been away at uni trying to make it.
Yes.
We are from the bush, so we're a bit mild, you know.
And that's what they think. Really, and we use it as a tool sometimes, don't we?
We do, and in some ways we're really, really advanced, but in other ways, we got gaps like anybody else, and you know, just things like understanding how to get abstudy, we didn't know how to do that. And you know, people think that everyone knows how to do that, but you know what? We didn't have those tools as a family. So anyway, for whatever reason, my grandpa was no good, and it was my job to come home and be with the family while we were losing him. So I sort of thought, okay, well, what am I going to do? I can't be a doctor anymore. Well, at least not at this stage. Maybe I'll write a letter to the Impaja, and Owen Cole was the CEO back then, and so I wrote him a letter and I said, hey, listen, I'm back from uni and I really would like a job. Really, I'd like a job in the newsroom. I'd like a cadetship. And he wrote back and said, come on in for a job interview. You can answer some telephones.
make a cup of tea for the visitors.
That's right. And that's what I did. I answered the telephone.
Nipper.
Anyhow, one day I made this meeting with bloke upstairs and I said, he was the news director, and I said, look, I think you want to give me a job. And he said, and you know, he leans back in his chair and he puts his hands behind his head and he goes, well, we don't have any jobs for you right now. And I said, oh, that's a shame. You're just looking at the best thing that happened to you.
That's right. You're looking at a deadly, deadly journal right here in your face. Give me a job, I'll go to the opposition.
And, you know, for context on that, you know, I was a young single mum. I was only 23, and I had nothing to lose, but I knew that there was a lot to gain.
Of course.
So he gave me that opportunity, and if I hadn't said those words, the chances are none of this would happen. So I moved on from that and moved more into both journalism, producing, presenting, all of those sorts of things across into the ABC. And then back home again. I always come back home to and work for the mob.
Well, re-energise, you know, and get your power back too, you, my sister.
I'm glad you said that because that is absolutely true. There comes a time where you've got to come home and talk to your ancestors. And
feed on country.
And I also reckon, absolutely, and I also reckon that your ancestors, they tell you when it's go too. You know,
exactly.
They say, all right, off you go.
Fly now, but fly back.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Absolutely. Yep. So I moved around a bit, you know, I was the first newsreader for NITV, believe it or not, years and years and years ago.
Too deadly, yep.
And again, but I never stayed presenting. I like to do other things as well. So moved around a bit, SBS, did a bit of work in education and a bit of work with a company called Jawan that works on building business capacity of Aboriginal organisations. And then, you know what, these mob here at First Nations Media, they were looking for a manager. And I went, you know what, maybe the time is now.
Yeah.
So that's what we did.
Beautiful. Fantastic. So you've been in that role since October, November last year?
Yeah. Stepped into the office in November last year.
Yep.
And largely that was handover. So I took on actual management of the business in February. And also in February came COVID.
COVID-19. Give you a little slap across the back end of the year there. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. So that went from, handover into, 7 days a week sort of work.
Handover into isolation.
Yeah.
Mask and wash your hand constantly. 1.5 metres.
Reconstruct the business and trying to get out there to our members and work out what was happening. Interrupt the information because, one of the things that happened very quickly was that in the messaging of COVID, our sector wasn't engaged. Other people's sectors were, and the land councils and the councils were engaged and for good reason.
Yep.
But our sector, with all the communication channels and all the experts in communication, had not been engaged in this process. So
yep,
there was
exactly.
Massive
exactly.
Work.
And look, it shows, especially in the pandemic, shows how important First Nation media is to our people in regarding the communication and the yarning.
Absolutely. So we managed to get in there on behalf of the sector and start getting more of that funding and more of the attention put onto our sector. And there was a quote the other day from one of the health professionals that basically said that the response from the First Nations media sector to COVID was nothing short of a breakthrough.
Yeah.
And that showed how incredible the impact of our sector was. And we managed to pull together a little dossier of content from right across the country.
Yep.
And it showed 500 examples of different pieces of content that was developed specifically for each community, because you'd know it, and anyone listening would know, what you needed to understand about COVID was really dependent on where you were based and how you needed to go about your everyday business. So
we've done well. I mean, hats off to our mob, protecting especially our elders who are vulnerable people with this pandemic. And we can walk with our head high, yes.
Oh, absolutely. And our elders, they are so precious. But, the other thing with our mob is, I don't know how old you are, but I know I'm hitting that risk group as well. So
true,
for us.
We're on the same page, yeah.
Extraordinary.
Exactly. Well, it's a very important tool, medium, this First Nation media, and the future looks bright for us in regards to delivering the messages that need to be delivered, not only to our people but to the world in regard to educating our existence as First Nation people in this country.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think not only is it bright, there are some challenges. Let's be honest.
Yes,
there are some
more cards on the table, yep.
Right across, but that's not just for us, Mob. That's for the entire media sector.
Yeah.
And that's because the way people are consuming and want to consume their media is changing. And there's no playbook, hey?
Yeah, well, exactly. No, there's no rules. And the world we live in, change is inevitable, and we need to be flexible to the change, change the engine of growth.
Absolutely. So what we've found, right across the sector, all the different orgs are working out what it is their members and their audiences need to engage with. And I think, again, our sector is just so incredibly creative. It is fantastic.
We can talk on radio here, and we can go Facebook at the same time and make that yarn,
That's right. And you know what? A lot of times that's where our young ones are.
And the smoke signal. Exactly.
And we still want to be able to turn on our radio and listen to radio as well. So it is an incredibly exciting time, but also a very challenging time for our sector.
Well, and we're ready for the challenge, my sister. Thank you, Catherine, very much for the yarn. All the best to you and your family, your mob there, your team, and keep doing what you're doing, and keep in touch, my sister.
No worries. Thank you.
Take care, Catherine. Bye-bye. Adeliana, Catherine Little, her name is, First Nations Media CEO, and been called back spiritually to her homeland there, Alice Springs, and heading up First Nations Media. So very important yarn, Dilly yarn conversation, and talk about this Dilly industry and that I work in and a lot of our mob work in, and it's a very powerful tool and communication tool in regard to a yarn with our mob, delivering our stories and our yarns, our music, but also educating people of the world about First Nation people and how we exist here in the 21st century. 60,000 years, we ain't going nowhere. Have your say, yarn up strong, add to the conversation, National Talk Black. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Yarn with the Bully on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumba Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. So give me a call, have your say on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Hey, what you doing, your mob? It's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Macaran!
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumba Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Have your say and yarn up strong on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, Joint Council recommends historic national agreement on closing the gap to National Cabinet, the Australian Local Government Association and the Coalition of Peaks for signing. Look, a very historic movement, and we're going to catch up a yarn there with Sister Muriel Bamblett, CEO of VACA, that's the Victorian Aboriginal Childcare Agency, and also she's the chairperson of SNAKE, Secretariat of National Aboriginal and Islander Childcare. On the line, my Sister Muriel, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Yeah, I just want to really sort of thank you very much for the opportunity. My people are Yorta, Yorta and Dja Dja Run, so, you know, well, I want to send all my, obviously, acknowledgements to everybody up there in Cairns. Beautiful weather.
Yeah, beautiful it is.
Cold in Melbourne.
The sun's shining, coming this way in far north Queensland. We'll send it down your way. My sister, thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, a very important a conversation, historic, making history here in regard to the national agreement on closing the gap. So tell us your input there as a organisation that's a part of the Coalition of Peaks.
Well, the National Indigenous Reform Agreement, it really came out of 2008 after the apology, and so the government committed to closing the gap, but they were very narrow outcomes. They didn't have Aboriginal people sign up to them, and so by the end of them, there was very little outcomes, very little achievement against the target. So obviously this time the Commonwealth Government said they wanted to do a refresh, let's have a look at them, and the Aboriginal community said, we're not going to be supporting any targets unless you include us. So led by NACHO, the National Aboriginal Community Controlled Health, and a number of other peaks, coalition of peaks were established. And so representatives from each state and territory, from Aboriginal organisations, coalitions of peaks. And so what we've got is 70 member organisations signed up to the Coalition of Peaks. And what we've done is negotiate a National Indigenous Reform Agreement, which has 16 targets, sorry. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But really, 4 reform priorities. And so, you know, I think it's really important to, you know, understand that it's the reform principles that are really going to be key to achieving the targets. And so those 4 reform priorities are greater accountability by Aboriginal people. And so that was a really big gap with the national last agreement, because there were no Aboriginal people that were holding government to account.
Yes.
And actually driving reform. The second one is the reform principle that they've all signed up to as well, is to invest in Aboriginal community control. And so that has been a significant one, greater investment, investment in our own people and our own organisations.
Yes.
The third priority reform area is greater accountability of mainstream organisations. So there are lots of dollars that go to mainstream without any accountability to deliver on any real outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
And from our point of view, a really key one is localised data and greater data be able to look at what's the actual data saying and to be able to take it up to government to say, well, here's the data now, this is what we want you to change and these are the numbers. And so we've been doing a lot of modelling around what needs to change and working with the Australian Institute for Health and Welfare and the Australian Bureau of Statistics about what data sets they collect and how do we make sure that government, states, territories, local government and everybody is accountable for driving outcomes.
So when you look at a coalition of peaks, we're talking about peak bodies from all industries for First Nation people, that becomes a strong voice for our people.
Yeah, look, and I mean, I think the thing is that we, part of the big challenge that we have is many states are underdeveloped as far as, you know, the ability to deliver across all the areas. And so, for example, I'm in child welfare. We've got a great, you know, a lot of investment in child welfare in Victoria, but we haven't got that same investment in Western Australia and in the ACT and in the Northern Territory. Yes. Queensland has, you know, has done a lot in that area. There's, you know, been a lot of work around appointing the first, you know, Aboriginal Children's Commissioner or Principal Commissioner, and that's Natalie Lewis. And so, you know, you're doing your work. You've got a coalition. You've got a strong commitment to child protection. And I think that, you know, Queensland certainly is well on the way to delivering. But some of those other states don't have sectors that deliver on housing or education or family violence. And so what we need to do is, and what the coalition of peaks are pushing for, is there's greater investment in all those areas and bringing together. And I think Queensland's at a really important stage at this time, looking at how do they build their coalition of peaks within the state to be able to work on the close the gaps within the states.
Well, a national agreement is coming from First Nation people on a national level for all our mob across the country, yes?
That's right. And I think that throughout this, I mean, what's been amazing is the work of, you know, community radio around the, you know, First Peoples Media Association and the work that they've been doing around getting out information and engaging our people in Close the Gap. And that's been a critical element. And so, you know, that's absolutely, you know, I went to a session at Thursday Island where I met firsthand people that were delivering the message and constantly deliver the message. And, you know, absolutely amazing to see the work that particularly remote communities do in interpreting what is, you know, very complex information and giving it to community so they understand what's going on.
Look, it's a powerful platform as such where all voices from First Nation people, from all industries, are taking us straight to the government's table and being at the table. And it's like not the tail wagging the dog, being in control of the conversation.
Yeah, look, and I mean, we know that this is going to be a challenge. We're starting to really now drive in governments around what is your investment strategy, what are the action plans, how will you do it, but we'll be as good as the states and territories.
Yes.
Well, you know, the national, we can't as a national group, you know, peaks, can't do it without states and territories taking leadership of this. And so we will be encouraging each state and territory to really lead and look at how do we actually deliver on the outcomes. How can you hold your own communities accountable for making sure that they're, you know, involved and included in this? And I think, you know, if it is only people sitting around talking, then that's not going to achieve close.
Yeah, well, we're sick of the lip service, aren't we, Sister Muriel?
That's right. That's right. And so community, they have to be involved.
Exactly.
They have to be engaged in this. And it's about time we took it up to the system to say, you haven't delivered, we want better outcomes.
Exactly. Beautiful. Look, a very important conversation. Thank you very much for sharing. All the best to you and your team.
Thank you for having me, Trevor.
Hey, what's that, sister?
Have a great day today. I hope, you know, the sun keeps shining on you. I
mean, you too, my sister.
Stop shining.
Yeah, Sister Muriel, you take care down in Victoria and all the best to your family and your team there, my sister.
I hope we come out of lockdown soon, honestly.
Yes.
We're in stage four. We haven't.
Hello.
We're not allowed to go anywhere. It's unbelievable.
I know. Thinking of you guys. Yep. All right, you take care, sister. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.
Deadly Yarn there. Sister Muriel Bamblett, her name is, CEO of VACA, that's the Victorian Aboriginal Childcare Agency, and also she's the chairperson of SNAIC, Secretariat of National Aboriginal Islander Childcare. And look, they are one of the members of the Coalition of Peaks, and look, a joint council recommends historic national agreement on closing the gap to National Cabinet, the Australian Local Government Association, and the Coalition of Peaks for signing. So look, a very historical moment, and about First Nation people at the table with the Peak bodies leading the way and being a voice for our people. So look, fantastic, and look, something's got to be done, closing the gap. Sound like a broken record, but there it is, you know, close the gap. We are in the 21st century. Let's get it together, people. All right, have you say Jan Armstrong, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Jan, with the ball to you on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Nakari, and taking right through 12 noon Queensland time. Give me a call, 1-800-422-416.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
A very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your deadly program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Nakari, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your saver calls on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Now, inspiring doctor wins New South Wales Australian ACT GP in Training of the Year Award. We're talking about Dr. Josephine Geyer. I got the beautiful sister on the line. Dr. Josephine, good morning. How are you, my sister?
I'm fantastic, Trevor. Thanks so much for having me on this morning.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Congratulations on your award there. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you from, sis?
So I'm a Wiradjuri woman. I was born and bred in Wagga Wagga in southwest New South Wales. But at the moment, I'm sort of based in Sydney and have been for about the last 20 years.
All right, fantastic. Look, a beautiful footprint there. Look, in the work that we do, and your passion, your vision to what you're doing as a doctor, and doing it for your mob as well as your family and yourself. But we don't do it for any rewards or recognition, but it's good to get recognised, yes?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It's actually been a bit surreal. I'm really proud that I've been given this award and that I can be a voice for, you know, other Aboriginal people as well, trying to take on this journey in not only health but in medicine.
Yes. So in regards to the industry you're in and the profession that you're in, where did it all start for you? Was there always a passion to become a doctor, and how did it start? What was the instigator for you to step into this this field?
Yeah, no, thanks for asking that, Trevor. Look, I actually had a career in nursing for about 20 years before I started to look for something different, and I wanted to take on a new challenge. And so I started looking out for new opportunities, and I stumbled across a new medical degree that was at the local university, Western Sydney University in Sydney. And I saw that there was lots of supports offered through the uni with the Indigenous Learning Centre, which made me feel like I could do it and that I'd be really well supported. Mm. You know, so I had a crack at it and I got accepted into the uni, and that's where my journey started. But really, I was motivated also to be a greater influence on empowering Aboriginal people to improve their health. As I'd seen, you know, a lot of us mob do, our family members suffering with chronic illness.
Yes.
But I think really my greatest motivator was my mum, and knowing that she was deprived of a career in nursing in the 50s.
Mm.
You know, if I could just share her story quickly.
Please, yes, go ahead.
She left Cootamundra Girls Home, and after completing and doing well in an entrance exam into nursing at the local hospital, she was told by the matron, "I won't have any blacks in my hospital," and she was asked to leave. She was homeless for a little while before the board sort of got hold of her and sent her into service. But knowing that, I think, really motivated me to take on an opportunity and to do it for my mum and the people before me that were deprived of these opportunities.
Look, we do things in life for two reasons, desperation or inspiration. We hope it's inspiration, but if it's desperation, then so be it. And success is the best revenge. And so that's what I'm picking up from you, Dr. Josephine.
Absolutely, yeah, that's right. It speaks volumes.
It does. And paving the way for other brothers and sisters along the way. And when you look at here we are in the 21st century, and we're talking about this GAP, closing the gap, and that's all facets, you know. And it's very sad that we've got a gap that keeps widening or doesn't close. And it is the 21st century, and there's something wrong with that. So we need to step up and do our bit as First Nation people to help ourselves, yes?
Absolutely. Oh, look, absolutely. And I really believe the greatest way that we can close that gap is to immerse ourselves in health, to get involved, to become health practitioners, to get into nursing, allied health, even medicine, you
yes.
know. I've got this mantra that if I can do it, you can do it too. And we can. We have the ability to. We just need to believe in ourselves.
Exactly. And look, a lot of our people, we need to do our bit as well. I always talk as a motivator, talk to young kids and about life and looking at that person in the mirror, that man, that woman in the mirror. We need to be making the right choices as well, yes?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Be good role models for our mob in the community.
Fantastic. So where to from here with you? I believe you've got exams coming up to complete your doctorate. Is that right?
Yep. I'm a bit stressed at the moment, Trevor, but hopefully I'll get through in 3 weeks' time. It'll all be behind me and I can practice independently as a GP, which will be amazing. It's a long journey in medicine, but it's one
yes.
that will be well worth it.
Yeah.
And then obviously I hope to continue working in Aboriginal health, especially with children and families, but also in the mental health space. Where there's lots of need there as well. But I also work with the training provider GP Synergy in New South Wales, supporting other Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander doctors through their journey.
Good.
In general practice.
Good.
Training.
So, yes.
Yeah, that's been really helpful as well.
Look, it's empowering for yourself as well to reach out and help other young brothers and sisters coming through the format, you know. They say the best exercise for your heart is bending down, lifting somebody up, and look, you're doing that, my sister. And we need more black success in this country, and not only on the football field, my sister.
That's right.
So, look, I appreciate the conversation. I congratulate you. You are leading from the front, my sister, and there's a bit ways to go, but step by step, inch by inch, it's a cinch. Thank you so very much. All the best. You stay safe, stay deadly, and continue doing what you're doing, Dr. Josephine.
Great. Thank you so much, Trevor. Take care.
You take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
A deadly yarn there, Dr. Josephine Geyer, who just won the award, the Royal Australian College of General Practitioner, who pleased to announce the award that she won, wins New South Wales ACT GP in Training of the Year Award. And she's only like a sneeze away from completing her doctorate, 3 more weeks and she got the exams. And of course, she wants to work with our mob in helping health and close that gap. So beautiful work, beautiful yarn, Dr. Josephine Geyer. This is your daily program. Have your say. Yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. Yarn with a baldy one here. Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Taking right through 12 noon Queensland time on National Talk Black. Have your say. Yarn up strong, your mob too deadly. 1-800-422-416.
Oh!
Mob, this is Tanya Kernigan with Trendy Trev and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now 1-800-422-416.
Yeah.
G'day folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
I remember the day.
I'm feeling these butterflies flutter inside my stomach, and I don't even know why I'm nervous. The very first time you looked in my eyes, I'm wondering why this all feels like the time is perfect.
The time is perfect.
It's like you were light years away from me. The stars aligned and then you came to me. All these things I have to say about how you make me feel this way. We've only shared one night together. Feel like I've had you here forever. Wish I could freeze the sands of time. Cause you got the stars colliding when you smile. Girl, I've only just met you, but I feel like I loved you in another lifetime. I said I've only just met you, why do I feel like I loved you in another lifetime? In the first five, feeling the vibes, we've been living the same life, and now our parallels are converging. And all night, late night, drive up in the sky. You and I seem to find heavenly bodies merging. It's like you were light years away from me.
Light years.
Stars aligned and then you came to me.
My girl.
All these things I have to say, but how you make me feel this way? We only share one night together.
One night.
Like I'm glad you're here forever.
Forever.
Unexpectedly, a thing that it's meant to be.
found for me my ecstasy. An angel God has sent to me. She flew right through my open door. Finally found what I've been looking for. You are the missing puzzle piece that came to make my soul complete. Feel like I loved you another lifetime.
Yeah, beautiful track there, Bertie Anderson. Big shout out, my brother, the deadly son of the late Drews Namok. Big shout out, my brother. Hope you're well. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. There were eight, now there's only six in regarding NRL finals. The loss for Cronulla Sharks are out of it, and also Knights, Newcastle Knights. So game this weekend coming up is the Roosters up against the Raiders, and it's to do or die from here on in. Losers out, and the winner will take on Melbourne Storms the following weekend, and also we've got Rabbitohs and Eel. Losers out, and the winner will take on Penrith Panthers. So that's where we're sitting at the moment. Hope your team's doing well. Have your saying, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. When you catch up now with Tony Gibbs. Tony, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. I'm good. All your listeners, good morning, everybody. And you. I've got a reply from the council about the cemetery business. They won't let me prepay that. So
straight up, that's the information they've given you. You cannot prepay for that plot.
Yeah, because all the other councils do. People in Tasmania, you know, funerals are expensive at the making. Sorry to bring the show down, you know.
All good, brother, all good. But I cannot fathom why they won't allow that to happen. You got the money there, it is your partner, you know. My father did it for my mother, and they took his money.
I'm very active in the community for Aboriginal human rights for a long time, and I don't think they want two martyrs buried together, mate. This morning, and they're, you know, the local North Queensland ABC, and I've given them a lot of information, and then this morning they had a pre-recorded thing on about people in Tasmania, and they're getting buried in cardboard boxes and stuff, and they can even post each other around in the post, you know. Well, I won't be very long. And I said, well, you know, I've given you a lot of material, and you're reporting Tasmania. We, you know, we're Far North ABC here. Mm. And it's like a frozen snowball, you know, it's ice coated. It's so conservative. And they said, oh, you can go to Bumba Bipper and talk. And I said, yeah, but I'm taking up time of black fella then, you know. And I don't do that. I'm a white man, you know. Because this is not just a Murray thing, this is every person that has to think about these things, and I'm left alone to sit and think about it. So, I'm just updating the council that said no, and I'll keep it brief. Because
yeah, mate. Sorry to hear that, mate, but yeah. The fight's not over?
My call is no more, so
yeah, mate.
I'm glad you're still there, Drew.
Yeah, voice here for you, mate, and opportunity to air your grievances, my friend. So thank you for sharing. Like, stay strong, my friend, eh?
Yeah, there's more going on, and that concerns the Green Patch, and that's the cemetery and the Green Patch. There's two issues I've got going. Thank you.
Okay, mate. You take care, Tony. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you too.
Tony Gibbs there, having his say. Yarn Up Strong here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Sad situation. Yeah, so he had money to pay for the plot and next to his other half, who passed away 6-odd months ago. And unfortunately, you can't book a plot. So I don't know how that works. Like I said, my beautiful mother with me in spirit, put her to rest 9 years ago. But within that week, Dad booked his plot next to Mum, and all good. So I don't know, go figure. If you got any answers there, give us a call, 1-800-422-416. Coming live in First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumbleberry Media, 98.7 FM. All your deadly moppet there, stay deadly, don't be gammon, as Shawnee Chilbury would say, gammon. Check it out.
What makes me really weak is you have black fellas saying gammon real gammon way. They need to go to Gammon Anonymous and see a gammonologist so they can go and get some gammon prescription and get some gammon medicine. And next time when you're watching TV and the classification says G, well, you know what that G stands for now. It stands for gammon. And when it says PG, well, that stands for proper gammon. I could just see at the next Gammon Awards, this year's gammon goes to Shawnee Chilbra. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I'd like to thank my gammon mum and all my gammon fans out there. Now we're going to break into a gammon song. This year's Gammon Awards. I'm gammon. I'm more gammon than he is. He's not even gammon. It's my Gammon Awards.
Ooh, yeah.
You're gammon. I'm gammon. Everybody's gammon. We are everyday gammon people.
You're gammon. It's getting hot.
Hear me now, hear me now. All my brothers, sisters, hear me now, hear me now. All my brothers, sisters, hear me now, hear me now. All my brothers, sisters, hear me now, hear me now. All my brothers, sisters, hear me now.
I'm sweating, melting. 100 degrees Celsius. You now, you never dealt this. I have never been the wealthiest. My money could change my mind. You see, we can't rewind till we see nothing is for free. Can you not? Nah, cause I'm never gonna stop. 3 in pride, stand side by side. Now what the one calls the shots.
Hear me now, hear me now. All my friends, sisters, hear me now, hear me now. All my friends.
Yeah, 2Deadly, 3M Pride, hear me now. And hope you're hearing me now here on National Talk Black. Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Going to catch up with someone on the line. Someone, good morning.
Good morning, brother. Yeah, brother, catch on AFL and the whale here, brother.
Yes.
Brother, before I do that, I like Tony's stuff that we do. And if ever, you know, I trust my quarterback, his partner. If ever I...
Yes.
Yeah, but anyway, I've got under way up there. But I reckon that all this stuff that all of us got back. I reckon if those submarines, you know, they've got an atomic system and they back and forth with the top one, top down, bucking the compass up, the whales.
Mm.
And I don't know, the only thing you could have done, I don't know, I've never seen a whale, but I think it's a pucker, the Japanese officer, brother.
Yes.
And, yeah, but on ASL, first time I don't know about it, but 1969 over part of the border to the diary up there, also, the Charlie Palmer, Nunga Polly Charlie Palmer, sorry, Polly Palmer, so, and he's a police guy, he's trained, so it doesn't end with, because the Queen's got to come up with the game, and he's got to start there. And whatever, and way before Ari Higgins came out, what did he happen? It was a custom of the long tackle. For the first time, I thought the AFL game, why two? And all because Charlie Cameron, brother. And I wanted to see, like, after celebration party, and I wanted to see the Ari Jason, brother. But anyway, after I watched the show, I was just a newspaper, and I went, Charlie Cameron, brother.
Yep, Queensland. Yeah,
yeah,
deadly.
Yeah, brother.
Represent.
Yeah, I watched the game right through, and I really enjoyed the game. Okay, brother. Thank you very much, brother.
Thank you, Selwyn. Found it hard hearing there, my brother, but thank you for the call. Trendy Trev going to sign off here, Mob, with your daily program, National Talk Black. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Black, stay deadly, stay strong, and more importantly, stay safe. We are still in the pandemic. Abide by the rules. Best medicine we got. Too deadly. Thanks for your company.
Sugar Town. Boulders are churning, Josephine is yearning, a barefoot slice of paradise. Caster of spells, Ulana is here, brand